Welcome to a Vashon Minute, where we take a moment to focus on one island issue or one island person at a time. Opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants alone and do not reflect the opinions of anyone officially associated with Voice of Vashon. I'm Susan McCabe, your host for this episode, where we're going to talk about how to get to Broadway. To help us explore that journey, I'm joined by Lisa Peretti, Artistic Director of our 48-year-old community theater company, Drama Doc, and playwright of Winghaven Park, an original musical that premiered here on Vashon and was recently workshopped in New York. Welcome, Lisa.
Hello, Susan. It's wonderful to be here.
It's so good to have you here, and congratulations on the success of your play.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sure this was a big journey, and I'm sure there are young playwrights out there who would love to hear how to make this happen for themselves. So for those of you who may not know, Winghaven Park is a real park on Vashon's northeast shore with a Gatsby-esque history.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Is that what inspired you to write the play, or was it something else?
It gave me an inspiration to ground the play in a place because Vashon was too general. So, because I wanted to write about Vashon's history, and I was trying to find a time period. So, World War II I landed on because that was interesting to me. But it's too general of a place. You know, who was it? Chekhov said, generality is the death of theater or something. And you need to really ground the story in a particular place. And then thematically, you know, a strong theme in the play is home. And so, if the characters are seeking home or maybe don't know that that's what they need, that's what rooted the story for me, was to find a particular place. And when I went down, and I grew up like half a mile down the beach from Winghaven Park when I moved from, like, I lived here when I was 5 years old, and I didn't even know it was there. I used to row my little dinghy up and down the beach and things, and had no idea it was there until someone said, maybe 5-6 years ago, have you ever been to Winghaven Park? And I thought the name was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I thought, there's a Winghaven Park? That's cool. And they said, yeah, it's kind of spooky. Like, I don't know if somebody died there. So I thought, oh, I'm going to go find out. So I parked and hiked down there, and I thought, ooh, there's some ghosts here.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
I thought, this is cool. And so that really kind of gave me an opportunity to launch as far as grounding the story in a particular place. So
there was a family named Winghaven that owned that property way back when. Your story isn't anything about them. So can you give us a brief synopsis of the plot?
Yeah, yeah. So as I understand it, it's the Wing family, W-I-N-G-E. And I don't know who made it into Winghaven as far as the park goes. But the plot is the story of an actress who comes home on a war bonds tour raising money, but she comes home to a community that's experiencing a lot of loss, and there's family secrets that, of course, she's having to face, and all of this is going to potentially unravel the goal that she wants to further her career, and it's really about relationships. It's about family and how families and people in a community rebuild after being isolated from each other. You know, basically, if I were to say it, I would say that secrets or lies divide us and truth sets us free, if you want to talk about big picture kind of themes. Ooh. But that's kind of what the characters spin around those two.
So you've already given our young playwright listeners two lessons. One is ground your story in place. And
yes.
The other is have an overall theme. Now, do you write the music too?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I consider myself a tunesmith. I feel like it would be too lofty to call myself a composer. I suppose that I am, but I know how to write songs, kind of hooky songs. And I honed that craft before I started thinking about writing a play. No, I had written other plays because I did playwriting in my master's degree, but I really love the craft of songwriting. It's a particular craft. And people had often said, because I was in musical theater as a younger professional actor, that's a genre and a style I'm used to. Not that everything in the show is necessarily, I don't know what typical musical theater songs are, but, you know, songs that further the plot and develop the characters and things like that. So that part comes easy to me, thinking of the tune and thinking of the lyrics and pulling that together. And I think it's because I've been a singer too, that helps. So I found it easier for me to write the songs rather than ask someone else to do it.
So I want to play a little snip of what you were calling one of the signature songs of the play. This is, what is this?
This is called My Turn, and it's actually not the leading lady's song, but it's her. That's the character of her sister who runs Winghaven Park.
Ah, it's a little bit of My Turn.
My turn. When I'm satisfied, 'cause I'm by your side, adventure will set me free. I'll see other places, my new life replaces with the genuine guarantee. I'll be with the one who'll make every turn the best of relationships. When I'm through with waiting, I'm anticipating your kisses upon my lips. When it's my turn, when it's my turn.
That's a little bit of music from Lisa Peretti's play, Winghaven Park. Lisa, you obviously used music to further the plot, as you say. And does it also serve some of the emotional expressions or situations of each of the characters, and how so?
That's a great question. Absolutely, it creates a huge amount of the emotional tone and climate of the show. I mean, I think if you're wanting to, you have the scene has to set up what the song is going to deliver. It's the song is your payoff. Emotionally, I think is what I would say. The dialogue and where the armature of the structure of the story is the thing that takes the most work. And then it's actually not that hard, I don't think, to see where the songs would fit when you get to a certain place. And so, yeah, the melody and how it's married to the lyric and what it's saying and those harmonic, the counterpoint and things in the harmonies and the way the song is structured. Because songs have a shape as well, right? Mm-hmm. There are many scenes in themselves, and they take you on a little journey a little further along. And so absolutely, it creates the emotional payoff. And that's what you want. You want emotion. It's not a structure will get the audience, a structure that's not robust will get the audience lost and they won't buy in. But so the songs kind of really come later too, although I didn't write everything that way. I wrote a lot of the music for very early on, but when I had an idea, but yes, I would say that's you just know what it needs dramatically, but you have to be able to think theatrically, I think, to be able to know when the song is right and what type of song, what tempo, and the tone and the shape and the feel of the song, what it's doing, and if it's coming out of the character, it makes sense. It has to make sense.
And it amplifies the characters.
Oh, great! Yes.
Position or situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fabulous. That is so interesting. Okay. The play premiered here on Vashon to rave reviews, but that's no guarantee of wider success. What was your first step in getting it to New York?
First step in getting it to New York was to partner with people who also wanted to see it go beyond Vashon's shores. So, the best thing was for me is that my goal was to make the Vashon production as good as I could make it and to see how it would fly in front of an audience. And so from that, then you get people who believe in it and want to partner with you to help you out. So that's just good fortune, I think. I mean, I worked really hard, but then it was blessed with the good fortune of people who wanted to be a part of it and who care about Vashon, who care about me, I suppose, as an artist, and who care about the piece and think it has something to say, etc. It's a long, musicals in particular take a long time because I started writing it in 2017.
I was going to ask that, yeah.
And then coming out of COVID, it was a lot of work to get it on its feet. So I wasn't, you're not really sure how it's going to land with an audience until you put it in front of an audience. And so I also had a producer who was not a producer for this show who was involved in kind of as a consultant with me. His name's Lewis Hobson. And he And he was, he said, you know, I think I said, well, I have some investors who have offered to put some money in. What do you think would be an obvious next step? He says, well, let's do a reading in New York, and then we'll get some feedback on it that way.
Ah.
And so I said, well, great. And so, but that's, you know, that was, so it's a year from when the Vashon show happened to when the, you know, it sounds really wonderful. Oh, this reading just happened out of nowhere.
No.
It's like I was rewriting things, and we hired a new director. Not that the director that did the Vashon show was any, it was just a practical decision to use somebody in New York, right?
Sure.
And so he is the person that has the contacts, and he's the one that does this kind of thing quite frequently. And musicals have multiple readings on that level, or table reads, or it's just a long process to get, because you hear it so differently when it's embodied by people.
So you used a New York cast, I take it?
Yes. We had to hire a casting director, which is quite extraordinary, I have to say. I mean, you know, when I'm casting for stuff here on Vashon, you know, you're calling up people, please, will you come and do this show? You know, and you have a casting director over there. It's like, we had, let's see, the Vashon show had 19 actors, 19 roles to fill. The New York, and then I cut that down to 16 for New York. So there's an example of the script changing, like blending one or two characters together, et cetera. And then, but you know, the casting director comes back with these 16, and it's like 25 names under each role to pick from. So the talent pool over there is just extraordinary. And of course, everybody in the team, or most of them, knew a lot of these people were. I knew none of them. one or two more famous people I knew. But, you know, it's just, you know, that's the kind of advantage that you have to, if you could get to that opportunity where you've got that kind of help. It's help.
Yeah.
You know, it's people that are connected and can help shepherd things further along and bring those connections. Because me on my own, no way. What would I have done going to New York?
Yeah, did you have to pick from those 25 people per role?
Yeah.
Yourself?
Yeah. Well,
you had to choose.
Well, I got to say if I liked someone or not. Like the team, one or two in the team would pick, for instance, the leading lady, the movie star, wanting to pick there was a television actress who they really liked. They're trying to, you know, find some name people for the leads, even for a reading, I guess, because it makes a difference in the press that you get.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I don't think she's the right voice for this role. She's not that she's beautiful and she's talented, but she doesn't have the right voice quality that you want. And by the time we got, you know, to where we were, I don't know how many people down the list. And then some people aren't available, or some people are, you know, all this kind of stuff makes a difference in who says yes to the project. But yeah, so yes, I do get a lot of say in who they cast, which is nice.
That's
as a play. I don't think that's the same if you're writing a screenplay or doing the movies or something. But in theater, you do get a lot of say if there's trust in the creative team. Yeah.
So when a play is workshopped, mm-hmm. is there an audience? Who's there?
It can be a number of, it depends what your goal is for the mm-hmm. for the reading. So, you know, I think I would even do more of a table read the next thing I do with this show. I probably would hire a cast, the same kind of thing. And then I would, but for this, it depends on your goal. The goal of this workshop was to have an audience, an invited audience, but we didn't say to the whole industry, we let the industry know it was happening, but we said it's an invited audience only. And we didn't expose the show this early because New York's tough.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got one shot, right?
Yeah.
And so we needed to hear the show. We needed to hear that the creative team, you know, the thing with musicals and with plays too, I'm sure it's the same, is that, you know, the writer, the director, the producer, that, and the music director, you know, the people who are really the core team to make it happen, mm-hmm. you've got to make sure those people are locked in tight and really trust each other. Because if one of those people falls and you're more money down the line, more time, you know, that's why so many of these shows fall by the wayside, is because something in the initial team, particularly at this level, just isn't a good fit. And so you've got to really make sure that that's solid. So that was one of the goals of this reading, was that, which was nothing the public would know. So there's an inside scoop.
Yeah, well, you know, that's really interesting, because what I'm hearing you discuss are many different types of talent required to make this happen.
Yes.
So I know that when one writes something, that's the most fun you're going to have.
Yes.
And yep. Then after that, it's really hard work. You have to be able to edit. You have to be able to cast. You have to know how to budget. And you know, as you just, you have to know, as you just expressed, that down the line, if your team changes, it's going to cost you more. You're going to go over budget. Yes. All those things. Where did you learn all that?
By making a lot of mistakes and just by trying stuff and having having good people around me. I think the executive producer has been very, very good. And just people, you know, when you can, you want to get people who are smarter than you, for starters, you know, who are honest, who tell you, give you honest feedback about things and but who also listen. So that's an important thing. But, I've forgotten your question.
But, where did you learn all that?
Well, I'm still learning. I think it's just, you have to know, the vision of the story and being true to the vision of what you're trying to write, because that's the North Star, right? And because so many people come in with ideas and the shaping of it. So somebody has to kind of hold the reins and kind of keep the stagecoach heading west, as it were, you know. And I think it's just being a theater person. I think you just listening and just getting people that you know their work, you know what they've done, what they say to you makes sense. You don't feel any other agendas going on. There's a lot of things that come into it, but it's highly relational. It's a highly it's an atmosphere where you trust each other and can really communicate with each other.
It's got to be a great joy when you find a team that you do trust and that believes in what you're trying to do.
It's huge.
We've been talking with Lisa Peretti, playwright and author of Winghaven Park and artistic director of DramaDoc here on Vashon Island, about her play Winghaven Park and how she took it to New York for a workshop. And before we go, what's the next step?
The next step is going to be another presentation of the show. Here's the thing about New York. It's so, New York is struggling after COVID, like every other theater mm-hmm. world seems to be. But it's much more advantageous for a lot of reasons for us to look to London for the next phase of the show, for various reasons, cost being one. It's cheaper to do it over there. Even you wouldn't take a Broadway cast there. You would go over there and do it. Use British actors, yeah. And singers. And then we will present it there too. And so we've got probably a couple more steps that will happen. And they're just a little more patient with the development process over there. They like that. They haven't been developing musicals as much and as widely as America has. Uh-huh. They have been, they know how to do theater, of course. but that's just seems to make sense for all sorts of reasons why that's the next place. So that's 2024. I'll be going to London, being well.
I hope you keep us posted.
Oh, I will, for sure.
Thank you so much for this brief education. And thank you, listeners, for joining me on A Vashon Minute. I'm Susan McCabe, your host. And stay tuned to Voice of Vashon. You never know what you might get next.